Hello, I'm Craig Barton, and welcome to this Tips for Teachers Top 5 all about checking for understanding. Now, just before we dive in, a reminder that you can access this as an audio podcast and also as a video. So you can choose your preferred medium and share with colleagues accordingly. And you'll find links to those either below the podcast in the show notes or below the video in the description or on tipsforteachers.co.uk. Right, checking for understanding. Now, I think you can make the case that checking for understanding is one of, if not the most important things that we need to build into our teaching armory, because without good checks for understanding, we've no idea if our students are learning things, understanding things, developing misconceptions, and so on. Now, there's loads of different ways that we can check for understanding. I'm going to use a kind of concrete example for this. As a maths teacher, I'm going to choose a maths-specific topic, but hopefully these ideas will transfer across different maths topics and also across different subjects. So the maths topic I've chosen is the wonderful world of equivalent fractions. And I want you to imagine that I've just taught a class the method of how to check fractions are equivalent, how to generate more equivalent fractions and so on. And I want to check their understanding. Now, one option is I do it like this. I give them a worksheet or I ask them questions of this form. Now, notice these are very procedural, very mechanical, very algorithmic. It's checking students' understanding, but only at a very surface level. Now, that's important. These types of questions are important. But if this is all we give our students as part of that check for understanding, I don't think we've any way of knowing just how deep and secure their understanding is. So over the last few years, as I've been lucky enough to watch hundreds of lessons, I've been making notes of the different types of checks for understanding that skilled teachers do. And in my book, Tips for Teachers, available in all good and evil bookstores, I've shared 10 different types of questions that teachers use when checking for understanding. And in this video, I'm going to share 5 of my favorite of those, all of which based around equivalent fractions, but hopefully the ideas transfer. So the first one is to use diagnostic questions to check for understanding. Now, I love a diagnostic question. I've got the website diagnosticquestions.com, tens of thousands of free diagnostic questions for all subjects. I think diagnostic questions are great for checking for understanding for 2 reasons. Firstly, if a child gets a diagnostic question wrong, you learn something about the specific nature of their misunderstanding. Because diagnostic questions, when they're designed well, the wrong answers, there's a reason behind them, a common misconception, a common misunderstanding. So if you have a sense of why a student's got something wrong, instead of just they've got it wrong, then you can direct your support accordingly. That's one reason. But the second reason I love diagnostic questions is that once you've established what the correct answer is, you can turn your attention or your student's attention to the wrong answers. So you can say things like, okay, we know C's wrong. Why might a student think the correct answer is C? Get the students to write down that. Can they understand where somebody might go wrong? And I love this one as well. You can say, okay, C's the wrong answer. Can you change the question as little as possible to make C the correct answer? So you get more for your money when using diagnostic questions as a check for understanding. Okay, tip 2. I really like this one. Give an interesting example. I'm a bit obsessed, in fact, forget bit, I'm massively obsessed with learner-generated examples. And in the Tips for Teachers book, I do a massive tip all about learner-generated examples. But we'll just do briefly here why I think they're really good to use as a check for understanding. So we can give our students examples all day long on worksheets, ones we think up and so on, and that's important. But a real good way to see what our students understand is to challenge them to generate an example themselves. And I find that asking them to generate an interesting example gives us a sense of where the boundary of their understanding is. So if I just say, give me an example of an equivalent fraction, that's fine, but students could come up with something simple, 1/2 and 2/4. Give me an interesting example, well, then they have to think a bit outside the box and they start pushing towards the boundary of their understanding. And that's where we want to see. Where's the edge? Where is it for them? And of course, they may tip over. They may tip over into something that isn't an equivalent fraction, but that's really important to know. And what we can do with these interesting examples, the students can write them down, mini whiteboards, books, whatever. We can then collect a load of them together, bang them up on the board, and then discuss them as a whole class. Are these 2 fractions equivalent? How do we know they're equivalent? And so on. Related to that, the kind of sibling of the interesting example is the interesting non-example. I love a non-example. Didn't do enough of this for many years as a teacher. Non-examples are so powerful. But again, interesting non-examples I'm interested in. I don't just want like one half and 21.55s or something like that. I want interesting non-examples. So a good way to phrase this with students is to say, can you come up with a pair of fractions that somebody might think is equivalent, but in fact, they're not? So this is a challenge to students. Can they get to the other side of that boundary that we talked about before? How far can they push their knowledge and get to the other side? So this is great to do. Again, get the students to write down an interesting pair of fractions that are not equivalent. Bang a few up on the board. And then again, we can have a discussion. Are these not equivalent? How would we convince somebody that they're not equivalent and so on? So asking students for non-examples of the things that you've just taught them, I think can work really well. Tip four, this is nice. So a classic thing I did for many, many years is I'd say to students, do you understand? Are we happy with that? So do you understand equivalent fractions? Everybody happy with equivalent fractions? And the problem you've got there is, firstly, it's really easy for students to opt out of that. But secondly, you're not assessing their understanding. You're assessing their perception of understanding. Yeah, we think we understand this. No. What we need instead is an actual check for understanding. So flip it on its head a bit. Instead of do you understand, what do you understand? Write down on a mini whiteboard. Write me down three things you understand about equivalent fractions. Really, really powerful check for understanding that. And then again, we can collect together some different responses and talk through them. And fifth and final one. I know I say this all the time, but I really like this one as well, you know. What's the hardest question you know how to answer? So say to students, taught you equivalent fractions. On your mini whiteboard, on one side of the mini whiteboard, write me the hardest equivalent fractions question you know how to answer yourself. And on the other side of the mini whiteboard, write me down how you answer it. Write me down the working out, put any annotations in and so on. And then of course, what we can do, students can swap with their partner or I can collect a few up on the board and we can try them out as a class and so on. I really like that one. So to recap, there's five tips to improve your checks for understanding, to move those checks away from the kind of surface level procedural to the more interesting, the more challenging, the more reliable check for the depth of students' understanding. So tip number one, use diagnostic questions. Tip number two, challenge students to come up with their own interesting example. Tip three, challenge students to come up with their own interesting non-example. Tip four, ask students what they understand. And tip five, what is the hardest question you know how to answer? There's a load more extra tips on checking for understanding in Tips for Teachers, plus over 400 tips on loads of different aspects of teaching as well. In addition, if you go to tipsforteachers.co.uk, you'll find the Tips for Teachers podcast, where some of the world's leading educationalists and inspirational teachers share practical tips you can use the very next time you step into a classroom. I also capture the videos of those conversations and chop them up into individual tips so you can share them with colleagues. And there's the Tips for Teachers newsletter. A lovely new tip arrives in your inbox every Monday morning to try it in classes that coming week. And finally, I've got available some on-demand and face-to-face Tips for Teachers CPD sessions if you want to learn some more. Thanks so much for watching.